number 8, United States of America versus Mary McNeil, please.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Joshua Vincent, and along with Michelle Lissick, we represent Mary McNeil, the defendant appellant. This is an appeal from a conviction and sentence for possession of cocaine base with intent to distribute. The defendant is a 60-year-old woman who was caught in a tavern parking lot on Christmas Eve of 1999 with approximately half an ounce of crack cocaine. The only issue that we have raised in this appeal is whether the defendant was entitled to a two-level reduction on her base offense for acceptance of responsibility. And I recognize that the court hears a fair number of appeals on this type of issue, acceptance of responsibility, so I'm going to cut right to the chase, and this really the focus of our position is that the defendant, for lack of a better word, got whipsawed in this case. She made an effort to plead guilty. The district judge rebuffed that effort to plead guilty. When it came time for sentencing and the defendant requested a two-level reduction for acceptance of responsibility, the judge refused it because she didn't plead guilty. And under those circumstances, we think that that demonstrates the sort of, I should say, the rare circumstances under which acceptance of responsibility credit should be given despite the fact that the defendant proceeded to trial.
Why was the plea rejected? Because she wouldn't admit all the elements?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. She took the position that, let me put it this way. I think that the record reflects that the defendant was very confused about the nature of the charge against her. She had a lot of difficulty understanding the concept of intent to distribute. It was her position that she was holding the cocaine for someone else. She had no intent to sell it to anybody. And that's why I think she was having problems with that aspect of the
charge. Could it be that she didn't want to disclose who all the people were involved?
Well, that really, in my mind, Your Honor, goes to the issue not of acceptance of responsibility, but more to the safety valve inquiry.
No, it goes to if the court wants a full and accurate recitation of the facts, then what happens?
That question wasn't asked of her at the hearing on the guilty plea. That did come up in the context of the safety valve discussion at the sentencing hearing. And that's one of the things that I find troubling about the case. We do have one case on...
That's why I'm asking you to get right to the point.
During the sentencing hearing, Judge Murphy began asking questions about the lack of an unraveling of the details of her involvement, and was corrected by the U.S. Attorney that didn't really pertain to the acceptance of responsibility issue. That pertained to the question of safety valve. And when it came back to the issue of acceptance of responsibility, the only concern on the judge's part was the fact that she didn't plead guilty and proceeded to trial. And that's why I say that...
But doesn't the court say he wasn't satisfied? He says, I don't begrudge anybody a trial, that's why we're here to conduct trials, but the issue here is whether she gets points for acceptance. The answer is no, the court heard the evidence. Whatever the government thought of it, I don't know what they thought of the proffer, but I heard the evidence on the attempt to distribute, and it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
So, you know, in terms of acceptance, I thought he was really focused on the fact that she denied that she was there in the car when she was seen by the undercover agents with this bag.
Well, she didn't deny that she was in the car.
Right. And there was testimony that she was holding a bag.
Yes, that's
right.
True, too. And she didn't deny that either. The issue was what she intended to do with it.
Right.
And I think the confusion in her mind was she wasn't there to sell it. She was holding it for whoever it was
she got it from. The confusion comes down that she said, I'm going to plead guilty on my terms.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
She comes down that I'm going to plead guilty on my terms, Your Honor.
Well.
And if you don't accept it, we're going to take it up.
That's certainly one way of looking at it. I view that transcript as more... an issue of confusion on the defendant's part.
And that's a good way to put it.
I'm concerned because you said the judge was really just not retaliating against her because she pled guilty, but, you know, he didn't give her acceptance because she pled guilty because later on in the transcript he says that he would have given her acceptance if she had qualified, but because he was still denying that's why. You know, I'm trying to just...
It's problematic, I agree. And the case that we found that we thought was nearly on point in this is United States versus McKinney, which I know the court doesn't favor Ninth Circuit decisions to align itself with, but...
Do you?
This time I do. In that Ninth Circuit case, it matches up very nicely. The plaintiff, again, tried to plead guilty, was rebuffed, put on a minimal defense, and I think that's another element that's involved in this case is the fact that, you know, notwithstanding whether you want to characterize a confusion or not, a complete acceptance of, you know, the circumstances of the charge, the offense, there was really no defense put on in this case. The defense offered to stipulate to all the facts in the case. The judge rebuffed that. The case proceeded. There was no evidence, no witnesses called on the defendant's behalf. There was minimal cross-examination. It was very limited. Part of the purpose of this provision is to look to was the defendant trying to save the government the trouble of putting it to its proofs, of conserving the resources of the court and the government. And all of those factors are really in play here. All of those things were taking place during the course of the trial. And, you know, as I prepared for this argument and looked at, you know, the fairly sizable body of law on this issue, the thing that does stand out in this case is that what I think is an overemphasis on the judge's part about her failure to plead guilty, which seems inconsistent to me with the comments and the application notes for Section 3E1.1, which indicates it's not supposed to be a discount for guilty plea.
But to get back to the question, is the reason was she wouldn't admit to all the elements, isn't it?
Yes.
And you can't have it both ways. It's not that she just refused to plead, but she only wanted to plead if the judge would accept not all the elements.
But there are cases, Your Honor, that have found an acceptance of responsibility on a partial basis like that.
Is that in the Ninth Circuit, too?
One of them is, but I got two others. I've got one from the Tenth Circuit, which I think is actually probably one of the better cases, called U.S. versus Galvin. And in that instance, that was assault on a federal officer. The guy tried to run a police officer over with his federal officer over with his car. And he was willing to accept responsibility on all the elements of the crime except intent, which is exactly what we have here. And the district judge...
The officer just got in the way of the car, you mean?
Yeah. I think there was intoxication as part of the issue. But in that circumstance, the district judge did grant a two-level reduction for partial acceptance of responsibility, notwithstanding the fact that the defendant elected to go to trial only to challenge that issue of intent, which is exactly what we have here. And the court, Tenth Circuit, upheld the reduction under those circumstances.
And, you know, I understand what that case says, but the standard we're dealing with here in terms of review is abuse of discretion. So certainly what the district court did here was within the range. I mean, you don't have cases... you don't have any cases really with this similar kind of fact scenario that says there was an abuse of discretion for the court not to...
I agree, except that our position is that when the judge has a misunderstanding of the law, and we think that Judge Murphy's focus on, you know, either you plead guilty and you get the discount or you don't, is the type of misunderstanding of the law that is enough to push us over that abuse of discretion threshold.
So that's how you bootstrap into
yes.
error land, so to speak.
Don't you think that the judge has an obligation to have all the facts before him so that he can render in his own mind a fair and impartial sentence based upon all the facts?
Yes, I do.
And if he himself feels that I need more information because he has the responsibility to him the sentence, don't you think he's entitled to get it and ask it?
Yes, I would think that I would agree with that. But I think that in this case, there's a wide range of factors that the court is obligated to consider. And this transcript, and in particular the pages A10 and 11 in our appendix where we have this exchange on this issue, doesn't really demonstrate to me that was the judge's concern.
Okay.
That the judge's concern was she wouldn't give me a clear guilty plea. And that's my problem with it, so we had to go to trial. And the judge was very patient with Ms. McNeil. There were a lot of recesses, a lot of efforts to let her talk to her counsel and try and get down to the bottom of it. but I think that was the biggest issue we had. There was one other point I wanted to stress, and again, is that there are these cases that have found acceptance of responsibility on partial.
But it is a judge's, it's an abuse of discretion standard, and you know, prior to sentencing guidelines, this is not an issue at all. I mean, it's, these are a progression of individual cases that make some decisions on this, and I'm not sure that your Tenth Circuit case really gives us much help on that.
There are the two others. There's the Ninth Circuit, and there is the Eighth Circuit as well. All three of those circuits have granted, or upheld, I should say, acceptance of responsibility, and that does differs from the standard of review. I agree, but I am concerned about what looks on its face like whipsawing here. I won't let you plead guilty. I'm not going to give you credit because you didn't plead guilty. And that, to me, takes this case a little out of the norm in these circumstances.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right.
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honor. I think, in all honesty, that Chief Judge Murphy really should be commended for not accepting the guilty plea in this case. Had Judge Murphy done so, we would have had significantly different issues here today. We would have had constitutional issues, in fact. This defendant did, I believe, Judge Coffey, what you suggested. She attempted to plead guilty on her own terms. Essentially, what she tried to do was plead guilty to an offense she wasn't charged with. She attempted to plead guilty to simple possession of crack cocaine, not possession with intent to distribute. And this court's review of a district court's decision regarding acceptance of responsibility is extremely deferential. I would suggest that that is even more so in this case where we had a bench trial. Judge Murphy was the fact finder. Judge Murphy heard the evidence, found the defendant guilty, and as he did so, he made very careful factual findings. In the trial transcript, and it's cited in the brief, Judge Murphy noted, basically in closing, that what we had here was an older woman who'd never been in trouble before, never any serious trouble, and that there was a certain inability on her part to deal with reality. He made an analogy to a country song. He also opined that this defendant had a certain suspicion that she was clever. At the sentencing hearing, I think it is abundantly clear that Judge Murphy realized that we weren't just dealing with an issue of someone who went to trial. We were dealing with someone who denied an essential element of guilt. And I really don't think that the analysis of this issue has to go much beyond Application Note 2 to the guideline. This defendant denied an element of guilt. She denied the intent to distribute portion of the charge. Under those circumstances, she was not entitled to a reduction for acceptance of responsibility. She did not accept responsibility, and not even at sentencing did she ever tell the court, yes, I'm guilty, I was selling those drugs. She never admitted the elements of guilt. She never expressed any contrition, any remorse. The record is utterly devoid of anything that would indicate that this woman has sustained her burden of proof on this issue. I don't want to belabor the points made in the government's brief. If there are no further questions from the court, I would simply rest on the government's brief.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Your time is up. Thank you. Well, yeah, you used all your time. That's why
I realize that, Your Honor. The only thing that I want to point out is there's something unusual in this case. The defendant was caught with a half an ounce of crack cocaine, which seems, at least in the context of federal prosecutions, to be an extraordinarily small amount, which leads me to believe that there's more involved here than meets the eye, and that perhaps my client is being penalized for something that this record isn't really disclosing. And that troubles me. So I would ask the court to take a closer look at that.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The United States